Delighted to have in studio. Can't remember the last time I had a real live musician with a dead instrument in the studio. Although a violin's not a dead instrument, is it, Eleanor Spears?
Definitely not. You know, the wood takes on the sound of your voice. So violin played by a different instrument, a violinist, will sound different. I think that's so exciting.
Say that again.
So the wood of the violin, it was an Estrad magazine article. It takes on the voice of its player. So this is from 1750 England, an old instrument. So even if another person played it, over time the sound would change.
Yeah. This thing about old instruments, though, you know, because I know somebody who's been knighted for his service to English music, and he plays the classical violin. And it's the story about playing a Gonardia. What's his name?
Gonarius.
Gonarius. Yeah. Or a Stradivarius.
Yes. You know?
There's a story, but the sound is not necessarily better than some of the wonderful new ones that are being made in Spain at the moment.
Debatable, but yes. Yeah. I think it will also, it's like a human being. It'll take on maturity and different characteristics, and the wood changes over time. This one's definitely, it's tricky to play, but it has so much character. Each string is completely different, so you have to work hard to make it seamless across strings. But it works well, actually, for jazz, because you need different kinds of sounds.
Yeah, and Eleanor is in town for the Jazz and Classical Encounters Festival, Volume 3, which is happening at Spear on the 4th of December, Saturday the 4th of December, and I'm pretty certain, fingers crossed, that that will be able to happen. The violin's always been your instrument?
Yes, since I was 3.
Wow.
Yeah, long time. I guess my brother chose it, and then I took it off him. And he continued playing until matric really well, but I was the only one that took it on to be a professional. It's making great English sense right now. But all my siblings play to some degree, and they're all extremely musical, which I kind of only really found out when I started teaching. Okay, this sounds bad, but I kind of expected, I thought I was a great teacher because all my siblings learned really quickly from me, but I think it turns out they were all just extremely musical. It wasn't the teacher after all.
trying to teach me, that would give you a really, really good test of how good a teacher you are. And it is an extraordinary instrument, because when it's played badly, it is almost impossible not to want to dive into the sea and never come out again. But when it is played beautifully, as I'm sure you play it, it is something which can communicate pathos and great drama and a whole range of emotions with exquisite purity.
Yes, and it's a gorgeous instrument, but it's costly. You have to work for everything. Yeah. And a violin particularly, especially if you like a soloist with an orchestra, you have to project over all those instruments, and it's not as loud as a trumpet or, I don't know, trombone. So you have to learn to play this delicate thing with power. So it's like power but grace at the same time. Tricky thing to navigate.
You're here for the classical and jazz encounters, and
yes,
you talked about playing that in the jazz idiom. So was it classical into jazz, or were the two streams happening from early on with you?
No, definitely started classical, although my first teacher was Hungarian, and I think I've always just kind of improvised, but jazz takes a lot of work. I think a lot of people think that you just fall into jazz and you play what you like, but it's really not the case. So I went to New York thinking, oh, give me a year. I'm a classical violinist. Nothing's too hard for me. And then I realized, actually, it's really hard. So I'm still crossing over. And I love classical too, but I think it's really important to know that there's a whole history to improvisation, whole history to jazz, and it takes a lot of learning, a lot of study. I mean, think of Charlie Parker, that he practiced like 17 hours a day at some point to get to where he was, and he lifted the bar. He was like the Paganini of the jazz world. So, and there are many, Coltrane, there are many people like that who have pushed this art form to complexity. So I think people think of early jazz where, yes, you could get by playing by ear. It's not the case anymore.
Yeah. When did the violin come into jazz? Was it with Django Reinhardt and Stephan Grappelli, or was it earlier than that? Because, I mean, that's kind of like the early days of jazz. And, of course, jazz has its musical antecedents. So.
Yes. Actually, from the beginning, if you look at New Orleans, I know I never say that right, New Orleans. I'm not going to try and say it right. They're violinists from the beginning, and I think it was more a collective art form where everyone was improvising kind of together. And I think when it went into bebop, the violin wasn't loud enough, and I think that's maybe why it fell away. But now that we have amplification that doesn't make it sound even worse, I think the violin's coming back into play. And yes, you have the Stephan Grappellis, and you have Regina Carters, and there are violinists around. I would say Zbigniew Seifert is a Polish jazz violinist. He died already in 1979. He's probably like one of the most advanced kind of Coltrane-esque contemporary jazz players on violin, and I don't know that we've taken it further from what he did. But it is tricky. You're navigating bebop's a lot of chromatic kind of
Can you demonstrate?
Sure. Well, if you think of bebop, a lot of the language is circulating a note. So you have, and that is not that comfortable on violin. So if you have, I found that trying to do that, you kind of tie your fingers in knots, not like a piano or a saxophone where it sits more easily, although I spent a lot of time trying to sound like Charlie Parker. But for my music, I try and make it more angular. So I get that same dissonance and the same kind of the jagged feeling and the harmonic dissonance, but I get it with not close form chromatics, but more angular intervals, if I can give you an example. I don't know if that's a good example.
No, I mean, okay, I go, that's jazz. I hear that, and I know that's jazz.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it's different from classical, except that I know that if you play something classical, immediately, yeah. That's classical. What's the difference?
Rhythm, first of all. The first was swung. Classical's more rubato. And especially as a string player, we struggle because we train to follow each other. In an orchestra, you're kind of like a flock of birds and you try very hard not to stand out. In jazz, it's all about jagged and standing out and having a voice and playing in the pocket. So you have the bassist and you have the drummer, and often the bassist will situate himself behind or in front of the drummer, and it's the jazz musician, it's the soloist thing to put herself or himself in the pocket, so you find a place within that space, which is so not string training. So I have to not follow the band, I have to lead it and find the pocket, and that's taken some doing, but I think I'm getting there.
The one day festival is at the amphitheater out at Speer Wine Farm on the 4th. It starts at 12:30, doors open at 11:30, and they're looking at the lineup as an extraordinary lineup. And your trio, which is piano...
Quintet.
Quintet. Quintet, it is violin?
Violin, piano, saxophones, drums, bass.
Okay, and you are playing... Well, I hope people will go there for the whole day. You know,
yes,
why
I hope
go there for one
act?
There's
so many great players.
There really is a great great set of artists, starting with Bokani Dyer and Steve Dyer's son and his trio. And then a lot more to come. And what sort of thing are you going to be playing? And can you give us, without the other four, unless you've got them...
hiding in the back.
Hiding in the back, ready to come in.
My minstrels. I'll be playing all original set. Actually, there's one piece that we might play if we have time. That's by Brad Shepik, who's a great New York-based jazz guitarist and was a teacher of mine at some point. But we're playing a suite that I wrote of four movements inspired by John Coltrane's A Love Supreme, just in terms of he took the classical idea of having movements and put it into a jazz suite. So even like the third movement that I wrote is more kind of this, like your classical violin concerto, your slow movement, or the second movement of concerto. And I'm mixing with straight eighths, which is like, instead of swung, it's a more contemporary jazz sound, which it's... Oh, hard to explain.
Well, I'd say, don't bother trying to explain. Demonstrate.
Okay, that is hard to do without anybody else.
Okay, but play something.
So shall I play? Is this the song I'm going to play for you? No, not yet.
No, this is the song that you're playing for me.
Is
yes.
It? Okay.
Please get started.
Okay. You are demanding.
Okay. And you're not nearly accommodating enough in my demands.
I lived in New York for 8 years. What do you expect? Okay, so I'm just going to dissociate from the music because it's not going to work without my band, but I will play something spontaneous right now.
Go for it. Thank you. See, Bruce, tell your boys if they practice, they too can sound like that one day.
On a clarinet or on a piano, I don't think
Eleanor
so.
Spears, that was magnificent. Absolutely magnificent. Eleanor will be playing with the rest of her quintet at the Jazz Classic Encounters Festival at Spear on Saturday week. Book and go along. Eleanor, thank you very, very much indeed.